A Quackcast, Revenant Edition. This is number 238 and is called Pulse Diagnostics. It is from July 16th, 2024, science-based medicine blog entry of the same name. The essence of traditional Chinese medicine has always been the most advanced and experienced therapeutic approach in the world, Zhen Cheng Dong. For the post on tongue diagnosis, I used a picture of our bulldog, Pugsley, and his tongue. He also has a regularly irregular heartbeat, but we have never bothered with an electrocardiogram. His pulse skips every third beat, and I imagine his EKG would be trigeminal. So does my dog have dimy, regularly intermittent pulse? Well, it's not intermittent, but that would mean, quote, decline of Zhang Fu Qi, wind syndromes, pain, terror, fear, trauma. His wind when broken can inspire terror and fear. I can vouch for that. But I do not think that is what is meant. But, quote, patients with this pulse have advanced heart disease according to Western medicine and should be immediately referred to a Western doctor, a.k.a. someone who actually understands cardiology. Or does my dog have Kumai, rapid, irregular, skipping, abrupt pulse due to, quote, excess heat, domination of yang, qi, blood, phlegm, and food stagnation? This can be from atrial fibrillation, and, quote, this is clinically very severe. Yin and yang are not in communication. I wonder, does cardioversion bring yin and yang back into communication? Is food stagnation an indication for Eliquis? Can you do traditional Chinese pseudo-medicine on English bulldogs? Perhaps I should dig deeper into that most advanced and experienced therapeutic approach in the world. I have always had a watch with a second hand, which, it occurs to me, is a third hand. The minute hand is the second hand, and the hour hand is the first. English, what are you going to do? Anyway, I always wanted to be able to count a patient's pulse or respirations myself. Not that the pulse is all that important in most patients. Lack of a pulse, that can be a big deal, especially when combined with lack of respiration. As an infectious disease doctor, the only fun manifestation of measuring a pulse was Faget's sign, pulse temperature disassociation. For every degree the body temperature goes up, the pulse should go up about 10 beats, at least for those not on beta blockers. There are a half dozen infections where the pulse does not go up with fever, first recognized by Dr. Faget while studying yellow fever. I have found it a useful hint as to the etiology of some infections. And when I was in Paris, I saw where he lived. Taking the pulse, while interesting, is not that important in making a diagnosis in modern medicine. Fast, slow, irregular are all features that could warrant further evaluation as to the reason for these abnormalities with, say, an EKG. And modern diagnostics have resulted in some physical findings that are more entertaining than helpful, as physical findings often lack sensitivity and specificity. I do not think I would recognize a water hammer pulse, despite having seen no end of aortic insufficiency in my career. I relied on the echocardiogram to know what was actually going on with the aortic valve. In traditional Chinese pseudomedicine, TCPM, it is different. When combined with the tongue evaluation, the examination of the pulse is a critical part of making a diagnosis. Well, making a TCPM diagnosis. So not that impressive, as using a fiction-based diagnostic to diagnose fictional problems is less than remarkable. TCPM is not the only pseudomedicine that uses pulse for diagnoses, as in different forms, pulse is used in Ayurveda, Korean, and other medical traditions. And, of course, each style does not agree in the particulars. TCPM has two different characteristics for pulse diagnosis. One form is based on the quality of the pulses, the other on mapping organs to the area of the pulse. Of course, there are always multiple ways to skin a cat sith. A problem in discussing TCPM pulse diagnosis, like all pseudo-medical practices, is since they are not based on reality, there is no real standard to determine sensitivity or specificity of the diagnosis. There are as likely as many forms of acupuncture as there are acupuncturists, since there is no objective basis to the practice. The same is true of TCP and pulse diagnosis. There are likely as many forms as there are practitioners, and there is very little agreement among practitioners. One description of the maneuver, I suppose, is as good as any. Quote, a TCPM doctor palpates six locations, three on each wrist, with the three points called kun, guan, and qi, and describes pulses in terms of various characteristics. By comparing the pulses at left and right kun, guan, and qi, the health status of the individual organs and of the whole body can be determined. Pretty damn impressive. As specified in the antique texts, the Nanjin and the Maijin, the heart, liver, and kidneys, lungs, spleen, and kidneys, are assessed at the right kun, guan, and qi, respectively. Actually, that doesn't make any sense, does it? As in the above example, the spleen is mapped to the middle pulse of the right hand. It is also mapped to the foot, the ear, the hand, and the body in various forms of acupuncture and acupressure. The spleen sure gets around. Why is the spleen on the right and not the left? I wonder if that is reversed in situs inversus. As best I can determine, no TCPM practitioner has evaluated the idea. Maya pulse diagnosis, while done differently by its last practitioner, Don Elojo, if I pronounce that right, also had 28 different pulses as well. An observer tried to overlay TCPM on Don Elojo's system with variable success. But he could diagnose 42 conditions, including spirit possession and witchcraft, as well as a variety of wind conditions. Don Hilijo also would use his thumb at times to palpate the pulse, which is a no-no in real medicine, as you run the risk of feeling your own pulse, and the thumb is just not that sensitive. Why the wrist? Why not one of the many parts of the body where the pulse can be felt? In ancient time, other pulses were palpated, but these have faded in usage over time. Why? Why do I continue to try to apply reason, logic, and reality to a complicated work of fiction? It is the nature of the pulse that is important in the diagnosis. Quote, the most common 28 TCPM pulse qualities are used in clinical practice come from the references Bin Hu Mai Zhu and Zhen Ji Zhang Yan. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing these. These qualities are floating, sunken, slow, rapid, surging, fine, vacuous, replete, long, short, slippery, rough, string-like, tight, soggy, moderate, faint, weak, dissipated, hollow, drum skin, firm, hidden, stirred, but not shaken, intermittent, bound, skipping, and racing. Some sources say there are 29 pulses. Would no pulse be on the 29th? Like much of TCPM, how pulse diagnosis was done back in the day was different than currently practiced. Quote, present-day finger placement on the radial artery for pulse diagnosis to determine the relationship between organs and general condition vary according to widely used Chinese or Tibetan methods. Note that. Vary accordingly. Variations exist between different historical Chinese periods on finger organ representation points and vary to minimum extent among Tibetan historical and current writers. Present-day finger placement on the radial artery for pulse diagnosis to determine the relationship between organs and general condition vary according to widely used Chinese or Tibetan method. Variations exist between different historical Chinese periods on finger organ representation points and vary to minimal extent among Tibetan historical and current writers. See? And modern TCPM practitioners do recognize they do not really understand what they are doing. Quote, the pulse qualities are largely described qualitatively and are not clearly defined. For instance, the slippery is compared to beads rolling and the string-like is like pressing the string of a musical instrument. The magnitude of a pulse quality is similarly not precisely defined. The difference between a fine pulse and a faint pulse is that the former is a little bit stronger than the latter. A little does not precisely determine what differentiates fine from faint. Thus, descriptions of pulse are subject to the interpretation of individual doctors, and this lack of quantitative standardization undoubtedly contributes to the low inter- and intra-reliability of TCPM doctors. You see, they don't know what they're doing. And, as one video has it, how to take a pulse is a matter of style. Of course it is. Can't have a standard where each practitioner makes it up as they go along. But at least a given practitioner often makes it up the same way each time. Quote, testers tended to agree with themselves more often than they did with others when rating the same patient's pulses. And different types of pulses have different meanings. For example, a hollow pulse, quote, it means there is still some flow of qi at the vessel surface, but not much blood. A hurried pulse, quote, on the one hand, no pun intended, I suppose, this can represent contraction of the qi, as in liver qi stagnation, or it can represent deficiency of the qi. A floating pulse, quote, the circulation of qi and blood is focused in the body's surface to deal with an external pathologic agent. The internal circulation is temporarily sacrificed to assure that the pathogen is eliminated before it can enter more deeply and cause serious problems at the visceral level. Debilitated patients may show a floating pulse that is feeble, indicating the inability to retain the qi and yang in the interior due to deficiency of the vital organs. That is gibberish. And if you look around the interwebs and the PubMeds, you can find many similar examples of said gibberish. And that is TCPM in a nutshell. An ancient, complicated, inconsistently practiced, and worthless fiction divorced from any known anatomy and physiology. So what you going to do? Not much. As best I can tell, there are few studies trying to validate TCPM pulse diagnosis by itself for real diseases, which is a good thing. Some researchers realize that, quote, the results of pulse diagnosis rely heavily on the practitioner's subjective analysis, which means that the results from different physicians may be inconsistent. Maybe that should read, will be inconsistent. And so, as is so frequent for fiction-based medicines, trying to apply modern technology in an attempt to standardize the unstandardizable. Hey, a new word. Unstandardizable. If you use it, I get paid. But such an approach only results in lots of tooth fairy research trying and failing to bring to pulse diagnosis the rigor and reproducibility of an electrocardiogram. Using cell phones, bionic pulse diagnosis equipment, I wonder what sound the machine makes, like the Bionic Man, or computers and AI to analyze the unanalyzable, hey, there's another new word for you. It's just silly. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Proponents of TCPM like to note that the practice is 3,000 years old. Huh. When was the last time you wanted something from 3,000, 300, or even 30 years ago? Well, maybe 50 years ago, the music in a classic Mustang convertible. But for the most part, I would not want the food, the engineering, the science, the transportation, the political systems, or the social hierarchies from 3,000 years ago. And the medical practice? I'll pass. So despite its antiquity, as of 2013, they're still trying to standardize pulse taking. In 3,000 years, they have not even figured out the basics. Quote, information on anatomy of the Kuhn position at the wrist is lacking. Whether the blood vessel taking pulse in Kuhn is in the radial artery or the superficial palmar branch is also clinically controversial. So they investigated in 2019, mind you. Better late than never. Quote, the objective was to investigate the boundaries and contents and the vascular distribution and their pulse points in Kuhn. 32 upper extremities of 16 human cadavers were investigated for dissection and observation. The boundaries, contents, and blood vessel distribution in Kuhn were observed. The location of pulse points were identified. How do you get pulse points in a dead person? The length of the superficial palmar branch in the wrist pulse, the pulp width of the index finger, and the angle between the radial artery and the superficial palmar branch were measured. Tooth fairy science at its best. The results, quote, suggested that it could not be generalized that the blood vessel taking pulse in Kuhn was the radial artery or the superficial palmar branch. It might depend on the vascular distribution in Kuhn, the region of finger positioning, and the patient's pulse condition. In normal speak, you got to make it up as you go along. There have been a few attempts to integrate TCPM diagnosis with reality-based medicine, despite, quote, the study of TCM still encounters serious challenges due to the almost irreconcilable differences from conventional orthodox medicine, reality-based. There are at least two major differences between TCPM and real medicine. Patient classification, duh, and intervention methodology, a double duh. And they mean a diagnosis and treatment. Yep, TCPM offers neither. Real medicine does. It is why TCPM is useless. But I can't find any studies that are not filled with incomprehensible gibberish. As when TCPM tries to describe, say, COVID-45. Quote, COVID is located in the lung where evil ki first invades the body from the mouth and nose, repressing the lung ki. I didn't know we had evil ki. In turn, the lung fails to disperse and descend. Huh? With symptoms of dry cough. The damp evil is heavy and viscous, blocking the ki mechanism and causing chest tightness, body heat, and muscle soreness. Damp evil. That would be a great name for a video game. Right after Silent Hill, we can have damp evil. Anyway, damp evil traps the spleen, easily injuring yang ki. Hey, I'm a Yankee. The spleen dominates and transports water and food through the body. It does? When the ki fails to rise, the spleen cannot be nourished, and symptoms begin to appear, including fatigue, gastric congestion, and loose stool. The spleen and stomach act as the exterior and interior of each other. Hence, the spleen's dysfunction affects the stomach's absorption. The dampness accompanying the epidemic toxin into heat is manifest as high fever, occasional yellow phlegm, obvious asthma due to dampness toxin, and sticky stool due to the stagnation of dampness. That makes no sense. One study tried to diagnose essential hypertension with pulse diagnosis and compare their accuracy to, well, a blood pressure cuff. It was inferior, no surprise. But really, why bother? Just use the blood pressure cuff. I just cannot see how TCPM and reality-based medicine will ever find an area of diagnostic or therapeutic agreement. But there is good news. Yes. Perhaps less of this gibberish is being taught. The Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, that's what it's called, in Portland is closing. One of many that have closed. It looks like they priced themselves out of business. Quote, earning a master's degree in acupuncture at school was expected to cost nearly $74,000 this year. Completing a graduate program in traditional Chinese pseudo-medicine would cost students up to $120,000. Tuition, which ranged from $26,000 to $30,000 this year. You know, creative writing degrees are considerably less and have the same foundation. Well, at least for fantasy writers. And yes, to the question at the top of the post, you can do pulse diagnosis on animals. Quote, the pulse is assessed in various locations depending on species. Cats, dogs, goats, and sheep have their femoral pulses checked. Equine pulses are palpated using the common carotid at the base of the neck or the external maxillary artery, while the ventral tail median caudal artery is assessed in the bovine. In fact, the whole gamut of TCPM can be inflicted upon animals. I cannot find the origin of these recommendations. I think, like most of TCPM, it's made up as they go along, mostly for convenience of palpation. In the meantime, I think I'll let Pugsley be. Addendum. Science Magazine recommended 10 history of science books, one of which was The Expressiveness of the Body and the Divergence of Greek and Chinese Medicine. It compares and contrasts ancient Greek and Chinese medicine with a focus on the pulse. Eh. The history was interesting, but the author seems way too gullible about the utility and legitimacy of TCPM diagnosis and treatment. Neither the ancient Greeks nor the past or present practitioners of TCPM had any real clue about the diagnosis and treatment of disease. I would not entrust my health and well-being to either. I long had an interest in the pulse. For virtually all my life, I would suddenly have a burst of fast, faint pulse that would last a few minutes, followed by the need to pee. Something was causing the release of atrial natriuretic factor. My mom used to push on my eyeballs to slow the pulse. Yeah, that used to be a thing. And even though my dad was a cardiologist, it was rare and brief and never caught on an EKG. Until 20 years ago or so, when it hit on rounds when I was on the cardiology unit. Rapid faint pulse. I had them slap on some EKG pads, and as I was standing there looking at the monitor, a cardiologist came up and said, "You're going to the ER." They gave me a dose of adenosine to get me back into normal rhythm. I still remember tacking along when the line went flat on the monitor. 1, 2, 3. Am I dead? Sinus rhythm. Whew. I had an aberrant cardiac conduction pathway with a supraventricular tachycardia. They ablated the pathway and my pulse has been fine since. Neither the ancient Greeks nor the current practitioners of TCPM would have any clue what was wrong with me or how to fix it by feeling my pulse. That is one of the four diseases that could have killed me, but not for science-based medicine. So to paraphrase the opening quote, the essence of science-based medicine has always been the most advanced and experienced therapeutic approach in the world. And that ends the QuackCast number 238. References and clever links can be found at the science-based medicine blog of the same name, Pulse Diagnostics, from July 16th, 2024. And I'll just pimp myself here. Don't forget I've written a novel, Skeptics in the Pub, Cholera, available on Amazon, as well as 6 collections of my infectious disease blog, the Pus Whisperer series, as well as Flies in the Ointment, a collection of my science-based medicine articles. Thanks again for listening. Bye.